And we're holding on Chaf Aleph Omud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, if a dog or goat jumped off a roof of a shavu as a kalim and they broke kalim that were sitting on the ground over there. Mishalim nezek shalim, then the owner of the animal has to pay nezek shalim if they should mu'odin, because they're moored. This would be an example of regel. Animals like that are moored. They regularly jump off. Or we're not talking about a high roof, of course. We're talking about one story thing or something. So 8 or 10 feet up, and it's normal for them to jump off such a distance, and therefore to break kalim. So it's his responsibility. Another din, which we've learned, which we touched on the other day, if a dog took a loaf of bread that was baked directly on the coals, which, as we said, often has coals still attached to it when you take it off the fire. The holach l'gadish, and he went to a stack of grain. Ochal acharor v'hidlik agadish, and there he ate the loaf of bread and set the stack of grain on fire with the coal. Then al acharor mishalim nezek shalim. Then the owner of the dog has to pay nezek shalim for the bread, because that's normal. That's shein. Val agadish mishalim chatzin nezek, for the stack of grain he's paying chatzin nezek for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. Okay, so the first case, the Gemara says, Taima de Koftsu. Now, what are we saying? Why is the owner of the dog or the goat chayev? Taima de Koftsu, the reason is because they actually jumped off. Honoflu potter, implying, but if they had fallen off the roof and broken something on the ground, then the owner would be potter, because he couldn't have expected that. Well, Alma, does that prove Alma Kasava? Does that so that seems to prove that the Tana of our Mishnah holds Trilosid Pshia Vesofe Baonis Potter. If you have a case where to begin with the owner of something or a person is careless, and later on it turns out there was a damage caused, but not by whatever it is that he was careless with, but rather by something else which turned out to be an onus, then it sounds like he's potter. Because in other words, here he should have considered, what am I doing leaving my dog or my goat on the roof where it could easily jump down and damage my neighbor's kalim? I better watch it. So it would be pshia for him not to do that. On the other hand, we're saying the implication seems to be that in the event the animal didn't jump off, which then he'd be responsible for that. We're saying it fell, we're saying hypothetically, if it fell off, then he'd be potter. So that would be exactly this. He started by pshia. He started by being careless and not making sure that the animal is being watched on the roof over there. But then in the end, the actual damage was caused by an onus. Now there's a machlokas about that point in Bava Metzia in Perek HaMafkid. You have examples that the Gemara gives over there. You have one example that gives over there in connection with Shomrim. There was a person where he was watching money for somebody else. Money, the Gemara says, but they were supposed to bury in the ground. This guy instead hid it in a hut made out of Arava, which is a very good place in the sense that thieves won't think of looking there, but it's careless as far as it could easily be burnt in a fire. So that would be an example of Trilas B'Pshia. In the end, it was actually stolen from there, which is Sofer Ba'onis, and you have a Machlokas over there whether he's Chayev or not. So here, our Tana evidently holds that way, that he would be Potter. Well, the question, okay. Tosfos actually discusses the point. You know, when you think about it, when an animal falls off, it's going to fall right next to the wall. When it jumps, it's generally going to jump a little further away from the wall. So where exactly are these kalim located? Where you could have, they could be broken by either one, and in the event they ended up getting broken in a fall rather than the animal jumping on them. Now you can't say the Bach points out within Tosfos, you can't say that it means that some of the kalim are close to the wall and some further away, because then whichever ones end up getting broken are the ones we'll have to see whether it was pshia or whether it was onus. So Tosfos says, first of all, you could be talking about where they're neither too close or too far. You could have where there's some place in between where either a fall or a jump is going to break them. Or Tosfos says another possibility, it could be one long kalim or a bunch of long kalim, similar to what we had before, for example, about long bundles of straw, where no matter what end, no matter what, and no matter whether the animal falls close to the wall or whether it jumps further away from the wall, either way, it's going to break. Anyway, the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in a Braisa. If a dog or a goat jump off a roof, and they break kalim, mashalom nezek shalom, then the owner of the dog or the goat is paying nezek shalom because he should have expected that. Nafluk turin, but here the Braisa spells out what we just inferred from the Mishnah, that if they fell, then the owner of the animal is potter. Well, the Gemara says, on the contrary, then well, then fine, that works out very nicely according to the opinion that you're potter in such a case. What about according to the opinion in Hamafkid over there that says in such a case you're chayev, and in fact the halacha is like that opinion? Then what are you going to say? How are you going to explain the braisa and the inference from our Mishnah? And the answer is, you'd have to say then that according to that opinion, you have to be talking about that the kalim were very close to the wall, so there's no tefilosi b'pshia to keep kafti b'kfitzel enough the alayu. So therefore, if they jump, they won't fall on them only because the animal fell off the roof. Are they landing on them? So therefore, there's no tefilosi b'pshia. So that would explain what the Mishnah is implying and what the Braisa says out, that if the animal fell, then we're talking about your potter, because the scenario is that the kalim are in such a place where only by falling would it damage them, not by jumping. Okay, so the Gemara points out, Rav Zvid Meshmei D'Rava, Amar Rav Zvid Meshmei D'Rava, there can actually be a scenario where you would be chayev, where you, the owner of the animal, would be chayev even if the animal fell. And what is that? You could find that scenario, and that would be, by the way, even according to the opinion that Potter, you could still find a case where the whole thing is pshia. Are you going to say the animal fell? How is that pshia? Because you could say you could find that scenario where the wall, the fence around the roof, was shaky to begin with. So therefore, to begin with, it's pshia to allow your animal to be up there, realizing that at any moment it could fall through. It could fall through that rickety wall. The Gemara asks, "My nihu, what do you mean? Do you mean that he should have taken into consideration that bricks might fall off the?" Not so much because of the animal, but just because bricks themselves might fall off that fence around the roof. The Gemara is assuming that the fence around the roof is actually made out of bricks, as you have nowadays. You have flattish roofs that have a parapet wall around them. Anyway, so you're going to say that he should have considered that bricks might fall off. Soif, loy nofel orchi. The fact is, in the event, bricks did not fall off, the nofel inu, instead the animal fell off, well then tchilos of a pshia v'soif of onesu. Isn't that the case where you started with pshia, but the end is ones, because in the end the kalim were broken by something that you did not foresee, and therefore you should be, and therefore according to the opinion that tchilos of a pshia v'soif of onesu is potter, then you should be potter? How can Rav Zvid be saying as a blanket statement that everybody would agree that you're chayiv in that case? And the answer is, loit stricha b'koisel tsar. The answer is, the case that Rav Zvid is talking about, rather, is where it's a narrow, wall. So therefore, so it's quite likely, in other words, that they're going to climb up onto the fence, which is a normal enough thing, and because that parapet is narrow, then they're very likely to fall off it. So that would be the case where it's not only tchilasim b'pshia, it's actually soifer b'pshia, because once you leave the animal, they're unguarded, and it's likely to go up onto the mica. It's quite likely to accidentally fall off there as well, because it's narrow. It can't really get a good foothold over there, and therefore you should take that into consideration, and therefore there's pshia involved there. The Rashba explains, in other words, that actually the Gemara has rejected, because of this, the idea that the wall was shaky. It doesn't have to be the wall was shaky and bricks might fall off it. All we need is the wall is narrow. On the other hand, the Rashash argues maybe the Gemara just means that maybe the Gemara is just kind of trying to reinterpret the word ro'ua as not that the wall is shaky, but rather that it's narrow. Okay. Turn on our bottom. We learn in a b'risa. Hakela v'adisha dogo mimata l'mayla. Now, in the Mishnah, we talked about where a goat or a dog jumped from the roof onto the ground and broke something on the ground. Now, what about the other way around? If they leaped from the bottom to the top, again, whatever distance they might normally do that. We're not talking about a 10-foot leap. We're talking about a leap of a couple of feet. So if they did that, Turim, the owner is Potter. Meaning he's potter from Nezek Shalem. You would have the Rashi, by the way, brings a second explanation of Kosel Tsar, is that it means not so much narrow, but rather but slanted. So once the animal climbs up onto that mica, which is very likely to do, then it's also quite likely that it's going to fall off because it's slanted. And then again, Rav Zvid is saying in that case, then the whole thing is priya. Okay, turn it up. Now, Kela Vagdisha Dogo Mimatala Maila, if a dog or a goat leaped from below to above, so they leaped up a couple of feet and broke something that was on the higher ground or on the roof, Turin, then the owner is Potter, because so that would be, we're gonna discuss soon, what do we mean by Potter? Do we not necessarily completely Potter, what we mean is, in other words, though, it would be considered Keren, because that's already something unusual, and we've already been establishing that anything unusual falls under the category of Keren. But if they jump from above to below, then they're chayev, then the owner is chayev, because that's normal for them to do. On the other hand, the braisa continues, Odom the Taunago, on the other hand, if it's a person or a chicken, Shadogu, where they leaped, Bain milamayla lamata, Bain milamata lamayla, in either direction, from above to below, from below to above, either way they're chayev. In the case of a person, doesn't matter whether it's his normal way or not, and as far as a chicken, chickens will regularly jump like that, or even from low places to high places, so therefore it's considered normal enough. So Tosfos mentions, in other words, that with a person, in other words, let's say, for example, that you went out of town and you asked somebody to watch your house for you. If there's a cheres shoytu b'katan around, that shomer is going to have to be responsible to make sure that cheres shoytu b'katan don't go jumping around and breaking things. Tosfos also brings up the point that when we said that a dog or whatever jumped from when we say pturin, Tosfos actually, now Rashi learns that it means the chayev chatzi nezek, because after all it's mishurin. Tosfos learns that actually the pturin would be the completely potter, because that would be an onus. So according to Tosfos, pturin and the braisa means completely potter, because the owner of the dog or the goat, it's an onus. So certainly according to the opinion, tchilas of a pshia v'seif of onus, but maybe not even, there may not even be any pshia over here in the first place. So in any case, that would be considered an onus, and the braisa saying pturin would be completely potter. Rashi had said it means chatzi nezek, and Agos Agura points out that the Rif, which we're going to explain his girsa in a minute, he also holds that it means that you're chayev chatzi nezek. So the Gemara asks, "V'hatanya, didn't we? What do you mean that though? The Braisa is saying that if a dog or a goat jumped from below to above, then we're saying you're potter. Meaning, according to Rashi, you're potter from chatzi nezek, and according to Tosfos, you're potter entirely. So v'hatanya, we learn another Braisa, akela v'agdisha dilgu. If a dog or a goat leaped." Bein milamayla lamata, bein milamata lamayla, whether in either direction, going up or going down, turin, then they're potter. So what are you telling me the Mishnah had told us they're chayiv if they jump downward. And in fact, Tosfos says the question could have just as well been asked on the Mishnah. But once we brought this price, then the Gemara now is going to ask on both of them. So what is it? Are you chayiv nezek sholeh? Are you chayiv if the dog or the goat leaps upward? The Mishnah seems to be implying that you're potter, because the Mishnah only talks about jumping downward. The Braisa, the first Braisa said you're potter as well, meaning again, according to Rashi, you're chayiv only in chatzi nezek because it's keren, and according to Tosfos, you're potter completely because it's oinus. But now the second Braisa is saying that either way you potter. And actually, that so the Mishnah had said that if the dog jumped downward, then you chayev. The second Braisa is saying that if it jumped downward, you potter. The answer is Tirgum Rapapa the Apich Mepach. The answer is Rapapa explains that you're talking about in this last Braisa where the dog and the goat did each one the opposite of what they usually do. Now, usually what happens is when a dog jumps or when a dog leaps, usually what it does is it won't just do one big leap. It'll sort of grab on with its paws and brace itself and then jump like a little bit at a time, kind of. And then a goat, on the other hand, will jump all at once. So now it's the other way around. Kalba bezkira, the dog just did one big leap. The gadya besricha, and in the case of the goat, it did the other way around. It grabbed a hold and started going gradually, the way that a dog normally does. So either of those are unusual. So therefore, again, that would be considered unusual. And so even though they're going from above to below, that would be the case where the last braise is saying pturim, because. What we mean is, again, potter according to Rashi only from Chatzi Nezek, because it would be Meshunah, it would be Keren, and according to Tosfos, potter entirely because it would be an onus. So what about if we said Tchilos v'Pshia v'Soifa b'Onus Chayev, then why shouldn't we say it's Chayev Nezek Shalom? Because these are two different things. He'd be the Tchilas of Pshia was as far as Regnal. The Sofer Ba'onas was as far as Keren. The two different Ovis Nezikin, and therefore, and being Pesheya about one is not going to make him Chayev Nezik Shalom for the other one. So now, as for Tosfos also points out, now we learned the other day, we had a case with a turnip on top of a barrel of wine where a goat climbed up and ate it. There's a difference, though, between climbing up the barrel to reach something, where here we're talking about more like the kind of jumping that a dog would normally do, like the sort of hesitant jumping, which a goat doesn't normally do that. A goat is more sure-footed normally, and it'll just make one big leap. So here we're talking about, again, so the Papa is explaining that, like this, when the Mishnah had said that Yuchayev Nezek Sholem for the dog or the goat jumping downward, that's Yuchayev Nezek Sholem because it jumped, and that was careless of you to leave it up there. Here we're talking about the other way around, where it leaped upward. The Mishnah had implied Yipater. The first Braisa had said, the Braisa over here is saying that Yipater, so here, the Mishnah had said that if they jump downward, Yuchayev. The last Braisa over here was saying that if they jump downward, you're potter, because when they jump downward, we're talking about they jumped in the opposite way of how they normally do it. The dog did one big jump where normally it doesn't, and the goat did like a hesitant jump, like digging in its hooves and then jumping, which is not normal for it. So that's all according to Rashi and Tosfos. Now, the Rif and the Rambam have a different girsa over here, the other way around. They have that in the last Braisa, it's not Pturin, but rather Chayov. So now the question becomes, not on the Mishnah, because the Mishnah had said that if they jump downward, you chayev. The Mishnah hadn't said anything about jumping upward. The question is strictly on the first Braisa, which had said that if they jump upward, you potter. So now this last Braisa is saying that you're saying that you're chayev. So therefore, the Rif and the Rambam understand that the Da'apich Mepach, the Rapapa's answer that they did things the other way around, is not referring to the last Braisa, is referring to the first Braisa. That if they jump upward, when are you potter, meaning again, potter from Nezek Shalom and Chayev and Chatzin Nezek, if they jump in an unusual way. But if they jumped in their normal way, even though it's upward, then you would in fact be Chayev, and that's what the second Braisa is saying. So in short, in other words, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the vote is jumping upward, you're always potter. Jumping downward, it depends whether they jumped in the normal way or not. According to the Rif and then the Rambam, it's the other way around. Jumping downward, you're always chayev. Jumping upward, it depends whether it was the normal way or not. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Yehochi amai p'turim? Fine, but then why is the Braisa saying p'turim, which implies you're completely potter? And the answer is, yeah, potter menezek shalem, b'chayav b'chatzi nezek. It means you're potter from full nezek, but you're chayav and chatzi nezek because it's keren, because it's something unusual. The Mishnah had said a kelev shenotal. The Mishnah had said the case where a dog takes this loaf that was baked on the coals and takes it to somebody else's stack of grain, etc., and eats the bread and causes the stack of grain to set on fire. So now let's talk about the chiyuv b'chlal when a person the fact that the Torah tells us an av nezikin of fire. What is the nature of that av nezikin? What's the idea? What's the halachic theory kind of behind which why a person should be chayev for that? And then based on that, we're going to bring in our Mishnah and discuss it. So Itmar, there was a discussion like this when it comes to Eish. Of course, the Torah tells us there's a thing of Eish, but what is the nature, what is the halachic theory behind that kind of nezik? Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ishay Mishum Chitzav. Rabbi Yochanan says, the fact that the Torah is machayev you for you lit a fire and it spread to somebody else's property and caused damage is because it's the equivalent of shooting an arrow. Meaning the same way as if you're standing in your property and you shoot an arrow and it lands in the other guy's property and causes damage, you're chayev. The same way, if you lit a fire in your reshus, then also it's considered the same kind of thing. It doesn't even have to be. Tosfos points out where the fire doesn't strictly speaking have to belong to you, but the point is you were careless and you didn't watch your fire like you were supposed to. So that's the equivalent of shooting an arrow and causing damage. Resh Lakish Amar Isha Mishum Mamonai. Resh Lakish says the idea behind why you're chayev for fire is it's your mamon, because the same way as you're chayev to watch your animal that doesn't cause damage, and you're responsible to watch, let's say, we learned in the first perek, you have your avnei sakinah masoi, you have your rock or whatever that you put on your roof and they fell down, and you're responsible to make sure that they don't fall down, and if they do, you're chayev for the damage, and you're responsible for making sure they're not left in the street and somebody trips over them, and if you do, you're chayev for the damage. So the same way over here, you have a fire, you're responsible for watching it, and if it got out, and again, it doesn't have to literally be yours, but the point is, in other words, that you have responsibility for it, and therefore you have to make sure that it doesn't cause damage. So, Resh Lakish, my time, so why doesn't Resh Lakish agree with Rabbi Yochanan? And the reason why we would think that he should is because the Gemara is going to point out on Amud Beis that Rabbi Yochanan actually has a pasuk backing him up, as well as a svara. Rava points out at the end of the next Amud, Kro umasnisa masayle l'Rabbi Yochanan. You have a pasuk as well as a pasuk and a braisa that support Rabbi Yochanan's position. So why does Resh Lakish disagree with that? The answer is omaloch, because he can tell you there's a big difference. Chitzav mikoyche ka'azli. When you shoot an arrow, it's going exclusively from his koyach. When you light a fire and it spreads, it's not going only from your own koyach. It goes, Rashi explains, in other words, it goes on its own. So therefore, you have a reason to argue that's not quite the same thing. Other Mephoroshim explain that what it means is because Rabbi Hanano explains because after all, a fire doesn't spread on its own. You usually need a wind in order to spread it. If you yourself lit a fire in a place where it's definitely going to spread, you lit it like you're on the edge of your property line, and right next to there, the other guy has wood or something. Of course, then we don't even need to talk about Mishum Mamonu, Mishum Chitzav. Then you cause a direct hazard. We're talking about you lit a fire in your property, in what was supposed to be a safe place, but you didn't make sure that there's enough of a fire break around it, and a normal wind came and then pushed the flames, and therefore the fire spread. So Resh Lakish is saying, the fact is, so according to Rabbi Hanano, Resh Lakish is saying, the fact is, it wouldn't have happened without the wind, whereas with an arrow, you don't need that. It's all your own. It's all your own doing. Okay, so why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold like Resh Lakish? True that he has a pasuk and a braisa on his side. Still, Tosfos says he could have doushed in the pasuk differently. After all, Resh Lakish does have a svara, because Resh Lakish does have a reasonable svara based on what we just said, that a fire spreads on its own or that that a fire spreads on its own, unlike an arrow. So why does Rish Lakish disagree with that? So why does Rabbi Yochanan rather disagree with that? Amalach, because you can answer your mamon is be mamasha, hol less be mamasha. The difference is your mamon has a certain substance to it. You can say that you're chayav for anything of yours that has substance and causes damage. Hol less be mamasha, but fire is an insubstantial thing. The flame itself doesn't have any mamashos. So therefore, so you can't be machayav him on the grounds of mishum mamonai. So therefore, you need to find another idea, another theory under which he should be chayav. So now the Gemara is going to go and discuss this point in some detail about Isha Mishum Chitzav and Itzav Isha Mishum Mamonai, a couple of interesting points in that regard before we continue with the Sugya. First of all, in general, when we have a Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the Halacha is usually like Rabbi Yochanan, and so it is over here, as the Gemara will end up explaining at the end of the Sugya. Anyway, so one interesting thing the Nimuka Yosef points out from that. Now that he says would apply not only to Nizikin, this concept of Isha Mishum Chitzav then would have to apply in other areas of Halacha as well, which brings him to the question then, how do you light Shabbos candles? Isha Mishum Chitzav would mean, in effect, the whole thing, when you light a fire over here and it causes damage, it's considered every bit of damage that it's done, that it did, is the equivalent of you having done it at the time by shooting arrows. Well, then the question is, says the Nimuka Yosef, in that case, when you light Shabbos candles and they continue burning into Shabbos, shouldn't it be considered that at every moment there you're causing that wick to be lit? And in that case, of course, on Shabbos, you can't do that. And so he explains that, no, that what Rabbi Yochanan means is Yuchiyuv, to begin with, Yuchiyuv is at every moment. But the fact is, it was all triggered by one original action, which then continues onwards. And the original action itself, you did before Shabbos, so therefore you're fine. And Achronim discussed with that, then how does that apply to lighting the menorah? Then you have the other way around. If you light menorah before the time, and it has to burn, after the time, you light on Friday, you light on a Friday of Hanukkah before Shabbos, and it continues to burn into Shabbos, there you have the other way around. No, that if you're going to say that you only look at the original, lighting of it, then how are you fulfilling the mitzvah, given that you lit it before the time? And again, they discuss that there we would have to say fakert. The Nimuka Yosef's point is that you have that all you did is one original action which you did before Shabbos, and therefore you're fine. The fact is that though we do have to consider that you did an action which continues to have ramifications afterwards, and therefore it can be considered that you you have validly lit Chanukah licht, and they're continuing to burn even after you let go of them, as the Gemara calls it in Shabbos, hadlaka oisa mitzvah. You only need to first light them, and then you fulfill the mitzvah. After all, technically, you fulfilled the mitzvah even if they go out afterwards before their proper time. They say also a drush vort on this. Rabbi Yochanan himself says in the Gemara in Tainis, when it's discussing the Churban over there, like this, the Gemara mentions over there, the Beis Mikdash was set on fire the afternoon of Tisha B'Av and continued to burn throughout the 10th of Av. So most of the destruction actually happened on the 10th. And Rabbi Yochanan says over there, if he had been around at the time when the Chachamim set up that fast, he would have told them the fast should really be on the 10th because most of the Churban happened then. The fact that we do it on the 9th is because the Churban began then on the 9th. So they talk about this as a lomdish thing relating to this opinion of Rabbi Yochanan over here, Isha Mishum Chitzav. Again, if he's saying that so he's saying over here that when you light a fire, you're responsible for everything that continues to happen with it. So in a way, that kind of fits with his shitta over there, although with the interesting difference, the Maharal makes a point. When a human being lets an arrow go, he can't control it afterwards. It's out of his control, and therefore he's responsible for everything that happens with it. So therefore, we can talk about, like the Nimuka Yosef said, you're doing one action before Shabbos, and it has effects on Shabbos itself, but you're not chayev for those effects on Shabbos because you lit it before Shabbos. On the other hand, with Hashem, we know Rashi mentions in Hazinu, where when you have the line... You have the line over there, V'soiches b'mishpat yodi. It actually explains over there that it means Hashem, so to speak, shoots the arrow, and the arrow is still constantly under his control. So in the same way, when Hashem caused that the Beis Hamikdash was set on fire, Hashem is in control of it at every moment. Therefore, we can talk about, therefore, Rabbi Yochanan over there can say that the fast should have been not on the day that it was set on fire, but rather on the day that that most of it was burnt, because Hashem, so to speak, could have stopped it at any time. The Kotzker brings a different point on that. He says the vort is, after all, we're not mourning the fact that the Goyim set the Beis Hamikdash on fire. We're mourning the fact that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and most of that happened on the 10th, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan argues over there that the fast should have been on the 10th. Well, Maisa, we don't say that. We say that it happened. We say that the fast is set on the 9th because that was when it started. Later on in the Masechta, by the way, the Gemara draws a comparison between this din about between these dinim about damage by fire and the fact that Hashem says over there, I burnt down the Beis Mikdash. It's my responsibility to rebuild it and even to build it with fire. As we say, Nachem and Tisha B'Av, which should be Miyad Mamish. Getting back to the Gemara. So we have Rabbi Yochanan's Isha Mishum Chitzav, and we have Rish Lakish's Isha Mishum Mamona, and we understand now why each one has his own Svara. Okay, Tnan, so let's look at our Mishnah. Kelev Shanato Chararachola, we said you have the case where the dog takes this loaf of bread and ends up burning down the haystack. So B'shleim Elamander Am Isha Mishum Chitzav, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Isha Mishum Chitzav, that the chiyuv of a fire is because it's as if you shot an arrow, fine. Well, what you have over here, in effect, Chitzav de Kelev Hu, so this is the equivalent of the dog shooting an arrow. So therefore, now when the Mishnah had said, Yuchayev Chatzi Nezek for the stack of grain, fine, we understand why, because it's considered that the dog damaged it with Tzuloris. We learned earlier in the Perek, about tsuris, where for example, an animal is walking down the street and a pebble flies out from under its foot and causes damage. We said that you pay chatzi nezek for that. So in the same way, it would be considered that the dog didn't directly burn the haystack. It was sort of an indirect thing, but therefore that would be tsuris and therefore chatzi nezek. Ella lamanda omu isha mishum mamone, but according to Rish Lakish, that the chiyuv of isha is because of mamone. High esh lab mamone the baal kelavu. Why is the owner of the dog chayev? It wasn't his fire in the first place. And why should he be responsible for what his dog did? The dog didn't create the fire. The dog didn't because it took the fire from someplace else. So why are we saying that the owner of the dog would be chayev anything at all for the stack of grain? And the answer is Omalach Rish Lakish Hachav Mayaskinen Da'ad Yeyaduyi. So Rish Lakish will answer. You know what? The case we're talking about, which we touched on the other day, is not where the dog just put the charora on the stack of grain and ended up burning on its own. We're talking about where the dog actually threw Ad Yeyaduyi, means it threw the coal onto the stack of grain. So like we talked about the other day, it took the coal in its paw or its mouth or whatever, and then it dropped it onto there. So that's not tsuris anymore. That's it did that directly. So now al charora nezek mishalim nezek shalim. So for the charora itself, you're paying nezek shalim because that's normal. That's chain. Ba'al makoyim gachelus mishalim nezek shalim. And Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish says that. That for the area of the stack of grain that was burnt directly by the coal, for that you're also paying nezek shalim, because that's not tsuris, that's considered isha that's not tsuris. For that you're chayev to pay nezek shalim, because the dog actually placed it over there. Val godish kula potter. So Rish Lakish says, so rather for the place where it placed the coal, then it would be chatzi nezek, because it's considered, so it actually gives two possibilities, one because it's tsuris, and the other because it's unusual for the dog to pick up the coal like that and put it down over there. And then Val Godish Kula Potter, then it's true for the rest of the stack of grain, the owner of the dog would be Potter, because this fire is not his mamon, and he had nothing to do with it spreading. And it's not tsuris either, because it continues to spread on its own. Now, so Rashi adds also, you can't, that's why, is Rish Lakish forced to say that we're talking about Adya Duye, that the dog threw or placed the coal onto the stack of grain? Why does it have to say that? Why can't we just say that it placed the charora over there and with the coal still attached? Or Tosfos says the same thing would be, it placed it there with a shinui, but whatever. The point is that why is that? Because then you wouldn't have chatzi nezik, because then you'd have the area where the coal actually was, you'd be chayiv nezik shalem, and the rest of it you'd be potter, so according to Rish Lakish's way of looking at it. So therefore, in order to make it, the Mishnah had said chatzi nezik, the only way Rish Lakish can find that you'll have any chatzi nezik involved would be if it's threw the coal onto the stack, where then you have either it's tzurus or shinui, as the case may be. Either tzurus, which is chatzi nezik, or shinui, which is keren, which is also chatzi nezik, the first couple of times it does that. So that's how Rish Lakish is going to learn the Mishnah. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan would say you don't need that. The anchi anuchi, you're talking about that the dog put down he put down the charora normally. So then al charora va'al mokum gachelus mashalim nezik cholim. So not only for the eating of the charora itself, he's going to be chayev. So the owner of the charora itself is going to be chayev nezik cholim because he ate his bread, and that's certainly normal. That's shein. And the place of the coal as well, he's going to be also chayiv nezik shalem because he did it via dayim. So therefore, it's not a matter of chitzav; it's a matter of a direct hezek. Vala godish mishalem chatzin nezik. The rest of the stack, he's going to pay chatzin nezik because that's already since Rabbi Yochanan says ishe mishum chitzav. Here, what we have is you didn't shoot the arrow; your dog did. Therefore, that's tzeruris, and therefore that's chatzin nezik. In fact, Tosfos points out that now Rabbi Yochanan has to say that it's talking about that he actually placed it over there, and you can't say he wouldn't say like Rish Lakish that what it means is the dog threw the coal onto there, and you'd say chatzi nezik for the whole stack of grain, including the area where it fell, because we had the discussion the other day in the Gemara about koyach koychoi, whether you have like this, where there was an indirect, where there was a more indirect thing. You have tsuris, which is the direct koyach of the animal, and then we talked about koyach koychoi, and Rav Ashi asked the question back on Daf Yud Tes, and the Gemara left it as teiku. If we were to say over here that the case is the dog threw the coal, then this would be koyach koychoi. That's the fact that where it landed on the haystack would be koychoi, and the rest of the stack would be koyach koychoi. And then if we said you're paying chatzin nezik for that, then for the whole thing, then that would answer Rav Ashi's question. And the fact is, the Gemara had left it as taken. With that said, again, Agoris Agura points out that actually the Rosh disagrees with that and says that actually even in that case we would say it's kekoche domi, and therefore you would be chayev for the rest of the godish as well. In which case, he doesn't mean necessarily that Rabbi Yochanan says it has to be that the dog put it down. Rabbi Yochanan would say the same din would apply whether the dog put the charora down or whether it threw the coal separately. Okay. So both Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan have their ways of explaining the Mishnah that fits with their opinion. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring another proof from later on in the Masechta. In the sixth parak of our Masechta, we deal in more detail with the dinim of Eish, and the Mishnah says over there, Gomel Ton Pishton. If you have a camel carrying a load of flax. The animal is walking in Rishos Rabim. Nichnas a pishtone l'secha chanus. The flax went into the store, and the load was so big that some of it stuck into the store. And then the flax caught on fire from a candle that the storekeeper had inside to light the inside of the store. Behidla kasabira, and it set the whole building on fire. Baal gomo chayev. Then the owner of the camel is chayev because the whole thing was caused by him. The storekeeper didn't do anything wrong in that case, because he's entitled to have a candle inside. It was careless of the owner of the gomel to let his pishdan go into the store. On the other hand, if the storekeeper put his candle outside, then the storekeeper is chayev because that was pshia for him to leave his candle outside. Rabbi Yehuda says if it was a Chanukah lamp, then he's potter because he's supposed to put it outside for persumei nisa. The Gemara mentions over there that the Chachamim do agree with that, that you have to have Pirsumei Nisa, and you have to put your menorah outside. Back in those days, they used to do that. Even nowadays, in Chutz La'aretz, we don't. But in Eretz Yisrael, you will find, you go to some of these old neighborhoods in Yerushalayim, for example, or some of the other places around Eretz Yisrael, you will find where they actually have these little glass boxes that they put their menorahs literally outdoors next to the door of their house. Anyway, so the Chachamim agree you should do that, but the Chachamim say, on the other hand, you're responsible. Yeah, put it in one of those glass boxes or sit there and watch to make sure that if anybody comes by with flax or whatever, that it doesn't set it on fire. So therefore, it can still be considered that that the owner of the store is careless for doing that. Anyway, so b'shleim l'mandom isha mishum chitzav. So again, if you say like Rabbi Yochanan, that isha mishum chitzav, fine, chitzav de gomel, who you're talking about over here, where you're talking about over here, where the arrow was in effect shot by the camel. So again, you're talking about tsurus. So we can say that the owner of the camel is responsible for what his camel did by causing the whole building to set on fire. But if you say like Rishlokish Isha Mishum Mamone, Hai Esh La Mamone the Baal Gamahu, then again we have the same problem as before, and that the fire doesn't belong to the owner of the camel. So why should he be chayev? The same way as we were saying before, that you should be potter in that case, according to that opinion, with the fire that was set by your dog, he would be the same thing with your camel. Tosfos points out that you have like this at the beginning of the Masechta. We said when it comes to an animal, you have three obvious nezikin, Keren, Shane, and Regel. Eish is not in that category. Therefore, if your animal set an Eish, then you should be potter. So why are we here? Why are we here? Why are we here? Are we saying that you'd be chayev? The answer is Omalach Rishlokish, Hoch Maiskin, Bimisach Seches Kola Birakola. Because Rish Lakish is talking about where the camel is walking by the entire front of the building and setting the whole thing on fire as he's going. Meaning, in other words, so you have the camel came to like one end of the building, and the flax caught on fire from the candle and started burning. But then, instead of the driver of the camel moving the camel away from there so the fire doesn't spread any further, he keeps on walking along, or as we're going to say in a second, he stands over there with his load of burning flax and continues actually setting the whole building on fire as it's moving or as it's standing still. So then it's not a matter of chitzav, it's a direct hezek. So now it's not a matter of tzuris, now it's a matter of rego, and therefore he's chayev for the whole thing. So the Gemara says, Hochi, Eima Seifa. Well, if you're going to learn like that, then what about the next part of the Mishnah when it said, Im hiniach chen v'ni neder v'chutz? We said if the owner of the store left his candle outside, chen v'ni chayev, then we're saying that the storekeeper is the one who's chayev for all the damage. The Ibim Asachsecha Samai chayev. If we're talking about this case where the camel is actually continuing to set the whole building on fire, then why is the storekeeper chayev? Why isn't the owner of the camel chayev? At least the owner of the camel should be sharing. So at least Tosfos points out, fine, it doesn't mean maybe that the owner of the camel should be responsible for the entire nezek. After all, the chenveni is involved as well by leaving this candle outside. But why should the chenveni exclusively be chayev? The owner of the camel was also being careless, because as soon as he noticed that his flak was on fire, he should have moved his camel out of it. And the answer is b'sha'omda, because the scenario would be where the camel stopped and didn't continue walking along. Well, the Gemara says, "Omda v'sichzek kokoshik and the chenveni potter abal gamol chayev." Well, then you have all the more reason, even if the candle was left outside carelessly, you have all the more reason to say that the owner of the camel should be chayev. Maybe the whole thing, maybe at least half of it. Why are we saying chenveni chayev, implying that the owner of the camel is potter? Now it's really careless of him that he's standing over there and not even making an effort to move his camel. And the answer is, "Omer of hunav amanoyach mishmeder of ikka hocha ma'askinen gancha omda lahatul meimel." The scenario we'd be talking about over here is the animal stopped and the owner of the camel driver couldn't get it to move again because it stopped to urinate. So therefore it's an onus. And now at that point, meanwhile, the flax is already burning and the animal is standing over there and you can't get it to move until it finishes urinating. And meanwhile, it's setting the whole building on fire. So now the initial thing was caused the original carelessness, then was the storekeeper leaving his candle outside, and now the Bala Gomel is potter at this point because it's an onus. On the other hand, Rish, so therefore, so Risha, so in the first case of the Mishnah, Bal Gomo Chayev, then the owner of the camels, Chayev Deloy Boile La Pushi Betina. He shouldn't have loaded so much flax onto the animal that it's going to stick out into the store. So there, in that case, the storekeeper was completely potter because he had his candle exactly where it's supposed to be. He didn't do anything wrong. And it was purely the fault of the Bala Gomo for having his flax stick out too much. On the other hand, in the Sefer, the storekeeper is going to be Chayev, because he shouldn't have left his candle outside, and once he did, if the fire then was spread by the Bala Gomel, then the Bala Gomel is going to be Chayev as well, but only if he had the ability to prevent it. And we're saying, Rav Huna Bar Manoach was saying, the scenario is where he had no ability to prevent it because the camel stopped and wouldn't move. So even according to Rish Lakish, we can understand the Mishnah that way, and therefore it's not a contradiction to his idea, Isha Mishum Mamona. It's true that the fire is not the mamon of the owner of the owner of the camel, but it doesn't need to be, provided that the camel directly set the fire rather than indirectly. If it had been indirectly, then yeah, you would say if you would say, like we said before, you're potter for a fire that your animal set, and therefore the Mishnah would have said, that he's potter. There is something in one of the Rebbe's of the Shimis where he talks about the deeper idea behind this halacha. I'm not sure I remember all the details, but the idea of it is that the fire over here represents the fire of devotion to the Eibishter, and the Pishtun represents the gashmius of the world. You have to be careful that your hislavos, that your excitement for of course doesn't destroy the world around you, which will be represented by leaving your candle outside and allowing it to set the flax on fire. On the other hand, the owner of the flax, representing the gashmius of the world, also has the responsibility to make sure that it doesn't impinge on ruchnius. So that's the first part of the Mishnah, where if he allows his flax to go into the store and set things on fire, then he's chayev, and you have and the Rebbe goes to Daush in this whole thing, as sort of Yehuda says, "B'ner Chanukah Potter," because he's saying the kind of mesiras nefesh that they had at the time of Chanukah, you can't expect that kind of thing to be kept within bounds. And therefore, no matter what, even if it like destroyed the gashmius of the world around you, you can't be chayev for that, because that kind of mesiras nefesh that has to go into the story of Hanukkah, you can't expect to keep that under control. Whereas the Chachamim say, even that, you're expected, yes, you have tremendous mesiras nefesh for that, but you still have to keep it within certain bounds and make sure that it doesn't destroy the gashmius of the world around you. The Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof in this machlokas of Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. A braisa says, Hamadlikas, it's actually a Mishnah later on in the Masechta, Hamadlikas a Godish, if a person sets somebody else's stack of grain on fire, so no question, of course, he's chayev for the grain, but here the twist is, there was a goat tied to the stack, the Eved Samuchloi, or you had an Eved standing near the haystack, standing near the stack of grain, the Nisrefim, right? And the goat or the goat or the slave were burnt together with it. So Chayev, then the one who started the fire is Chayev for the damage for the stack of grain and for the goat. He would be potter for the fact that the Eved was killed, because the Eved should have run away. The Eved should have run away, and Rashi points out, we're talking about over here, an Eved who has das. So evidently, Rashi would hold that if the Eved has no das, let's say it's an Eved cotton, then he doesn't know to run away, then maybe in fact the owner, then we would say the owner is going to be potter, because he's going to be chayev misa for the killing of the slave, and as the Gemara is going to say in a second, we have kam le b'dadavim here. But when the Eved has das, then he could have run away, and therefore he's potter. Later on in the Masechta, actually, when we bring this Mishnah, Rashi brings different over there. Rashi brings a different daya that says it's not only a matter of having das or not. Even a goat could know to run away from the fire, and therefore he explains things differently over there. That the only way he'd be chayiv for the killing of the goat would be if the goat was tied up over there. So therefore, it can't run away. Anyway, Eved Kofu Sloy, but if the other way around, if the slave was tied to the stack of grain, so he can't run away, Ugdi Samuchloy, or you have a goat nearby, the Nisrafimai, and they got burnt with it, Potter, then he's Potter from paying because Kom Lebedirabimine, because he's going to be Chayev Misa for killing the Eved. So Bishleim Alam Anom Isha Mishum Chitzav. So if you say like Rabbi Yechanan Isha Mishum Chitzav Mishum Hochi Potter, then that explains it. When he set the fire, it's considered like he shot an arrow. Therefore, when the fire spreads and ends up burning the Eved as well, who was tied there and couldn't run away, then he'd be chayav because he shot the arrow in the first place that ended up killing the Eved, and therefore he's responsible. In other words, for any of the consequences of the fire that he set. So he's chayiv misa for the eved, and therefore he's potter for paying for the damages because kom leib did that. But if you say like Rishlokish ishim mishum mamonei, am I potter? Why should he be potter for the damage to the stack of grain and so forth? Ilu kotel tore avda. After all, if his shur had killed an eved, hachinami delem chayiv, would he not be chayiv to pay? The fact is, the pasuk tells us that if your shur kills an eved, then you're chayiv to pay 30 shloim. So we see that. So we see you are chayiv in such a case. Now Rashi also points out it is normal that you can't say, Rashi points out, that you're talking about that the stack of grain and the eved belong to two different people. You can say the goat belonged to somebody else, and therefore you can be talking about that you're chayiv to Reuven for his stack of grain, but Shimon for his goat. On the other hand, Rashi points out, an Eved, usually you have, who's going to be watching Reuven's stack of grain? Reuven's Eved. So you have the Misa and the Tashlumen are both to the same person. So therefore we would apply Kom Lebedirabimine. Tosfos discusses this in some detail over here. For one thing, Tosfos says that brings from the Rashbam over here, similar to Rashi later on in the Masechta, that the goat also could run away. So therefore, Dafka has to be tied. Therefore, to be chayev for the goat, it Dafka has to be that the goat was tied over there. In the Sefer, when it says that the goat was nearby and the Eved was tied, it means one or the other. It means in both cases, if the goat was only nearby, then he's potter for the death of the goat because it could have run away. And if the Eved is tied over there, then he's potter because he killed the Eved and Kom Lebedirabimine. And then he goes on to discuss another way of looking at it is, we touched on at the beginning of the Masechta, then we're going to discuss in more detail in the sixth parak, the concept of tumim, that when you have a fire spreads and burns somebody else's property, let's say it burnt a stack of grain, and inside the stack of grain were hidden things called tumim, then you're potter. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayav, but the chachamim say you're potter, and that's the halacha. So Rabbi Natam, here in Tosfos, explains, you would think by the same token, maybe tumim covers anything else which is unusual to be there. It's not normal to have a goat tied to your stack of grain. Therefore, maybe you would have thought he's potter, and therefore we have to tell you that no, you're chayiv for the burning of the goat because it is, after all, the guy's mammon, and you're chayiv for it. As far as the point about where his shur kills an eved, Tosfos says it's not just the matter that he pays 30 shkolim. The fact is, you only do that when a shur kills, not when a fire kills. Rather, Tosfos learns the question is that you killed the eved, but the fact is your mammon caused. If you say ishim shum mammon, your mammon caused your fire. Caused the burning of the stack of grain, so you should be chayiv for that. We're going to say where he himself did something that involves misa and tashlumin. But according to the Shlokish, that it's not a matter of him doing anything; it's a matter of his mammon getting out of control. Well, then in that case, he's chayiv misa for killing the eved, but he should also be chayiv tashlumin for the fact that his mammon caused damage. And why are we saying that not? So the answer is Amalach Rav Shimon Lakish Hocha Mayaskinen. The case we have to be talking about over here is Kshehitzis Begufei Shel Eved. He actually set the fire on the actual body of the Eved himself. So then in that case, then of course he's considered that he killed him via Dayim, and therefore so therefore we apply and therefore we would say that even though it's his mammon that could, so now once he did that, once he set the fire on the Eved himself, now you can't say that he should be potter, that he should be chayev because of what his mammon did, because kamle b'dirab. Actually, the Rashba brings up the point that on the face of it, he should still be he's chayev first for killing the Eved, and only afterwards did it spread to the stack of grain, and then he should be chayev in the Teshlumen as well. And he explains that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you would say once you set the fire to begin with, he's considered a roive, and therefore, because the Eved is tied up over there, and inevitably he's going to get burnt unless somebody comes in and releases him right away. And as far as Rish Lakish, yes, the fire was set on the goof of the Eved, but the Eved only died, he learns, after the stack of grain was burnt. So in between he's a roidif, and therefore he'd be potter for any nizikin that happened during that time, because kam lebe did abim, eh? But after that, once the Eved is burnt, and only then the stack of grain is burnt, then yes, he would in fact be chayev in paying for the stack of grain. That's how the Rashi means. Okay. So the Gemara says, Yehochi Maila Memra. Well, in that case, what's the Chiddush? We know the concept of Kam Lebedir Abaminei. If you're saying according to Rabbi Yochanan, then there's a big Chiddush in it. Because Isha Mishum Chitzav, therefore he's Chayev, even though he didn't put he's Potter for the burning of the stack, even though he didn't put the fire directly on the Eved, because once he set the fire, it's and then the Eved is tied over there, then it's considered that Isha Mishum Chitzav, as if he shot the arrow and he's responsible for all the consequences of it afterwards. So there's a chiddush in that. But according to Rish Lakish, that you're talking about, that he put the fire directly on the Eved, and they were saying because of that, come in the Vidamin, and then what the chiddush? And the answer is Loit Sricha Bigdi Dechad, the Eved Dechad. The case would be where the goat belongs to one person and the Eved belongs to a different person. So now the point is, even though it's called misa la'echad, that he's chayiv misa to one person, he's chayiv misa and he's chayiv tashlumin to a different person, nevertheless, we're still pondering. Even though we're talking about two different groups. Tosfos discusses the fact is in other places the Gemara says that a person is chayev to pay in that case, and Tosfos gives a couple of different answers. One thing is that a roidif b'chlal is considered chayev misiv tashlum in la'echad, because it's not that you can't say he's only chayev to the owner of the eved. Anybody who sees him doing that is responsible to prevent him from doing that, and even to kill him if necessary to prevent it. So therefore, it can be considered that the mis and tashlumin both belong to the same person, because even though, in other words, Reuven owns the eved, Shimon owns the goat, but if Shimon were around there, he would be obligated to prevent this guy from killing Reuven's eved, and therefore it can be considered that the misa pertains to him just as much as the gedi does. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss Rabbeinu Tam's another explanation that generally he would be potter only by Edom Zomimin. Do you have a difference? And Tosfos goes on to discuss that point. Okay, Tana Toshma. Let's try to bring another proof. We learn later on in the Masechta, again, another Mishnah in connection with the Dinim of Fire. It's interesting also that the Gemara is bringing the Mishnayos in reverse order. First, it brought the one with the camel and the flax, which was the last Mishnah in the Perek, and then it's going backwards through them. Why? I don't know. Anyway, Toshma, Hashelayach HaSabe'era B'yad Cheres Shoyt B'Kotten. If a person sends a fire with a cheres shoyt b'katan, where therefore, so they can't, they're not, they don't have das, so they can't be chayiv for what they did. The one who sent them is potter from human judgment, meaning Beis Din can't force him to pay for the damages, but he's chayiv b'din shemayim, he's chayiv under Hashem's rules because he caused damage. Meaning, in other words, if he wants to avoid punishment by Hashem, then he needs to go pay the guy for the damage. If you say like Rabbi Yochanan Isha Mishum Chitzav, fine, then you can say the reason why he's potter Chitzav de Chereshu, because in this case, in effect, it's the Cheresh that shot the arrow, and you can't be responsible for that, because the Cheresh himself has no das, and you yourself, you gave him the arrow, but you, it's like you couldn't have known that he's going to shoot it. Ain't Shlich the Bar Aveda, but here it's not a matter of Shlichus or not. No, but not really, because you didn't actually, if you gave him, that's the Gemara is going to go on to say, if you gave him, if you gave him everything that he needs, and like you put like the lit flame in his hand, then that would be different. You were talking about, though, that you didn't. We learned actually before, when we learned about this earlier in the Masechta, and then we talked about that a coal on its own is eventually going to go out. So therefore, so you can't be mechayev of him for all the consequences of it. But according to the Shlokish, that it's a matter of his mamon, why should he be potter? And if he gave over his shur, which is his mamon, to a cheder shirt of a cotton, then it caused damage. Would he say he's not chayev? Of course not. He is chayev. And the same way he should be chayev over here. And the answer is ha itmar Allah, because you know that was said in the Bismedrish about this Amr Shlokish Mishmeh Dechizkia, that Rishlokish himself says, the same Rishlokish who holds Isra Mishmeh Mamone, he says in the name of Chizkia, Lo Shonu Elek Shemosala Gachelas V'Liba. When are we saying he'd be potter? Is if he gave the Cheresh Shirt of a cotton a coal, and then the Cheresh went and blew on it and made it and made it more able and blew up and then caused the flame to grow and therefore caused damage. So therefore, the difference is, if you learned on back on Daf Test, the difference is a shur, when you give it to a cheresh shur to a cotton, it's already ready to cause damage. The cheresh doesn't have to do anything to it to make it able to damage. All he has to do is just not watch it, which being a cheresh, he doesn't have the das to watch it. Here, on the other hand, it actually has to be that he makes the fire bigger in order for it to in order for him to be chayim. And therefore, you who gave him the coal can't be chayev. Our muscle shall have us. But if you gave him an actual open flame, chayev, then Chizkiah learns. And the Shlokish says in his name, he would in fact be chayev. My time in Bori Hezekah. Because then the Hezekah is clear. Now it's already ready to happen. So it's exactly like the Shur. So yeah, so the Shlokish is being consistent with his own opinion. Now Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you would be chayev even if he gave him a flame, kasava, because he holds tzavsa the cheresh to kagorim, because after all, it's the tzavsa, the fact that the cheresh is holding on to it, is what's causing it. In other words, by itself, it wouldn't have done anything, as we learned previously on Daf Tes. By itself, it would have eventually gone out only with the combination of the cheresh. Rashi had pointed out over there two possibilities. Either the word is tzavsa with a beis, which means the grip, like you have in Pirkei Avos, av tzvas, b'tzvas asuya, or tzavsa with a vav, like mitzvah, meloshin tzavsa v'chibur, meaning the joining, the connection, the combination of the cheresh. Plus the flame is what's causing the damage, and I'm not responsible for the cheresh in that sense. So therefore, so he would say, "Boy mechayev," when he wouldn't be chayev. Ad the muscle like gabza silsa v'shraga. When would he be chayev? Only if he gave the cheresh everything that he needs to make the fire spread. He gave him dry wood. Gabza is dry wood. Silta is kindling, little chips of wood or newspaper or whatever that you use to start the fire, and an actual open flame. An actual candle, then for sure he's Pesheya, that would be when he's Chayev. But otherwise, he's Potter Medina Adam, because he didn't give him, because anything that he gives him, short of that, it takes the combination with the Cheresh to cause the damage, and therefore he can't be Chayev for it in Dine Adam. So that's how Rabbi Yochanan would learn the scenario. So Tosfos also points out that, you know, the fact is, with a fire, you chayev only beruach mitsuya, only where it's the kind of thing where a normal wind would cause it to spread. So here we're saying, to begin with, we're saying that it's the cheresh causing it, that because, in other words, so that would be considered not really a ruach mitsuya. Because it's not a given, a ruach mitzuya is, in other words, practically a given that you have a fire under such conditions, it's going to spread. Whereas over here, short of giving him all the materials, like Rabbi Yochanan just said, it's not a given that it's going to spread, and therefore he can't be chayev for it beginning on it. Even if he, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, even if he gave him an actual open flame, but he didn't give him all the other ingredients that he needs to actually create a fire, then you can't be chayev. Okay, so we'll continue this discussion of Isha Mishum Chitzav and Isha Mishum Mamonai tomorrow in Motzei Shabbos.